Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome everyone to yet another episode of the Bobo and Flex Show. My name is Bobo and I am your resident optimistic nihilist, reminding you every day of your mortality and the urgency to get your titty sucked before the apocalypse swallows us whole. And I'm with the beautiful Flex.
I'm only here to encourage you to critically think and to facilitate your own nut and to stop being a dumb bitch full time.
Love it. In summary, we're here to facilitate our own nuts. We're here to get our titty sucked and we're here to seek out pleasure and growth with our chests. Toxic versus unhealthy relationships. Let's get into it. Today we want to talk about dysfunctional relationships, toxic relationships, and what a healthy relationship should look like, ideally. There's a lot to unpack in this episode. I feel like toxic relationships is such a... it's such a popular phrase on the internet. Mm-hmm. But let's jump into it. I am of the belief that a lot of us conflate dysfunction with love. But before we even get into that...
Okay.
I know, you know, let me just start off on that note. But before we get into that, Flex, how do you think that people can know whether or not they're in a toxic relationship? Like, are there signs? Are there... and we've talked about this briefly in like previous episodes, talking about narcissism and love bombing and things like that. But are there like universal signs that everyone can look out for in regards to toxic relationships? And what is it really that has relationships going toxic? Or why do relationships suddenly go sour?
Interesting. I would say a universal metric for a toxic relationship would be feeling as though you're always fighting, or not fighting, but you're always having to work hard for somebody's affection. Like, they're withholding for you and making you work and prove that you're worthy of, even though by nature being in that relationship should be enough generally. So if you're always feeling like you're made to work or apologize even when it's not warranted, that would be it. If you are feeling gaslit more often than not, you are probably being gaslit, therefore in a toxic dynamic. And this I'm talking about all relationships. I get gaslit. I used to get gaslit by my mom all the time. I swear.
Really?
I was like, am I really full-time trash or just like three quarters of the time? And the other quarter is you adding padding.
Yeah.
So that is it. I would say if you can acknowledge that you haven't grown or evolved as a person since being with them, you probably are being held back by something. If not them, it's you being the toxic party. So that's a really, really big one. If you've evolved into trash since being with your partner,
then it's toxic. I also want to add to that that, like, I think one way that you also know that your relationship is toxic is when it's negatively affecting, like, other parts of your life.
Ooh.
I am really of the belief that the only thing in your life that is important, everything else is an illusion, but all we really have are our relationships. And so the quality... who was it who said this? The quality of your relationship determines the quality of your life.
Ooh.
And so if you know that if you're in a relationship and it is draining or taking away joy from the parts of your life that usually give you joy, that shit is toxic.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship and it's negatively affecting your friendships or your career or like other parts of your life, that shit is toxic, because your relationships should be improving your life. And if they're not, they're toxic.
Yeah. And I would say, to add on to that, if you're... I think people who don't fundamentally support each other. I've seen so many dynamics where I'm like, I think you hate this person. I really do.
Oh my God.
But their presence benefits you in some way that you disregard that.
Yes.
That Also, if in conflict you're looking to hurt and not resolve,
to understand. Oof, oh my God, yes.
That was definitely a tactic of mine. I've grown since. But that is a really, really big one. And just a lack of respect, and also an unwillingness to collaborate with the other party. Like, it's me versus you.
A relationship is a collaboration. It's not a competition.
Mm-hmm. Link and build.
Yeah. And I want to add on to what you said also about you shouldn't feel like you're working hard to get your partner's affection. One thing that I used to think, because I think like society has us believing this, I used to think that relationships should be hard work. And I've completely thrown that idea in the bin. Because I don't believe that. I don't believe that healthy relationships should be hard work. I believe they should be work, like, because you're going to have conflict and it's something that you work on. But it shouldn't be, like, this thing that's strenuous and this thing that's draining you and this thing that's just, like, taxing. Ultimately, relationships, a healthy relationship should feel good. And I don't think a lot of people know that. Like, I think, that's why I say I think a lot of people conflate dysfunction with love. Because we're taught, either from a young age, from our families, from our childhoods, or from Hollywood, from Disney, that relationships should be like strife and struggle. And people romanticize that shit too. Like, people that are just like, oh, we've been through so much. Bitch, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to say about enduring a situationship because you've convinced yourself or deluded yourself that there is a plausible outcome or, you know, a benefit to what you're going through. But if you spend the majority of your relationship holding on to a few rare moments of bliss in the earlier stages, that's not it, Chief.
Yeah.
That's not it.
It's not but it.
I would also say that I personally think that a toxic relationship is one that's consistently, like, unpleasant and draining for the people that are in it. And the negative moments probably outweigh the positive. So, and I'm not talking, like, you know, you're just being, like, abused constantly. But if you're just, like, dreading interacting or you find yourself not planning to spend your time or not planning to build with them, I just feel like that's toxic dating. Because you are taking the other person for a ride.
Absolutely.
If they're like your plan B, even though they're your current plan A.
Can you imagine?
Do you ever think there's justification for toxic behavior in a relationship? I mean, and what does it take to brand a whole relationship toxic? How do I not know that we're just not having like a toxic few months or like a toxic moment?
I think there's a ratio. I think your relationship should be 80-20 good, bad. And I say that because relationships work in cycles, just like everything else in nature. And your relationship occurs in a cycle of joy and bliss, and then dysfunction or conflict, and then repair, and then the cycle continues. But if you're in the cycle of dysfunction and repair 80% of the time, and you only have 20% bliss and joy and growth, it's toxic. So I feel like it should be 80-20, at the very least, like 70-30. Mm-hmm. But that's about as low as I would go without settling. But I think that should be, in general, like, the ratio. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think about situations I was in when I was registering behavior as toxic. And I guess what was tricky for me was trying to decipher whether or not the toxic behavior was circumstantial or reactive as opposed to being fundamental or foundational. So,
what do you mean by that?
So, you know, there are some situations in which like, you might perpetuate your partner's toxic behavior. It's just like a bad time, bad circumstance. And so, you know, you really can't put a time limit on when it'll be over because you might be contingent on it as well. Like they're reacting to you poorly because you're going through something and vice versa. Versus the toxicity being a foundational element in your relationship.
Well, something
I don't know. I think 80-20 is fair, though.
Yeah, I think that's like that's a fair ratio. Something that I struggle with that's toxic in romance is like jealousy. And what I mean by that is like, so my boyfriend makes music, and this past week he was away like performing at this festival, and I guess like, the more, you know, the more he progresses along his career, the more he has groupies and, like, you know, like, just these Instagram girls sliding in his DMs, et cetera, et cetera. And so I deal with issues of, like, should I kill these hoes? Or just, like, seeing the ways that, like, hoes will just be, like, all over him, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And so for me, like, while I think jealousy is something that everyone will deal with in their life in some capacity or another, I don't think it's necessarily anything to be ashamed of, but I do think jealousy gets toxic when you project it onto the other person. So, like, while I know that I'm always going to be jealous to some extent, I also know that, like it'll diminish over time as I, like, mature and grow and become more, like, self-assured and confident. But I also know that it's something that I need to deal with myself before I go talking to him about it, you know? I think the reason, literally, I think the reason toxicity festers is because we project instead of dealing with it internally first. Like, if you have jealousy or insecurities before, like, lashing out at your man because you're jealous of his groupies, first, like, deal and rationalize that with yourself first before being like, you know, I was, like, mad jealous this weekend, like, seeing all these groupies, etc. You know, like, then you can approach that conversation mm-hmm. with a clear, like, rational mind. I think that's one of the ways to diminish, like, toxicity, or to not let your inevitable insecurities turn into toxic relationships.
Right. Which sounds like a one-step process, but I guarantee you it's like a 36-step process.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With, like, never-ending room for growth.
Honestly, what has been your experience with toxic relationships, whether that even be, like, friendship or romantic?
I think I mentioned it in another episode, but I definitely think in romantic relationships, I can be, like, a withholder. Like, I withhold emotion or affection or intimacy as punishment, or give it as praise.
Yes.
Which is annoying. Like, that shit's just so crazy and manipulative. But we're working on it.
We really are. So while I work on my insecurity and jealousy.
I just think I'm just hot and cold. Because I want to make sure that the person is, you know, I think there's a difference between being, like, a participant and then an active participant of a relationship. And I just don't want you to be here because you're here. Like, be present. Like, are you working on this? Do you realize we're in a relationship and we're working towards a fulfilling dynamic? Or are you just hanging out?
Ooh.
I don't want to hang out. Like, we're growing, we're evolving, we're learning, we're having a hard conversation often. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, it's chill. Like, we're just like, mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And in friendships, I'm just really negligent. Like, I definitely have friendships that I prioritize.
Oh,
and
my God,
very
same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And this is also me.
And I don't feel like those lower tier friendships will ever be more of a priority than my high tier ones. And I feel like they know that, and it's hard to deal with.
So I'm just, but, like, is it toxic savage. If they know that? Like, it's not like you're deceiving anyone.
Well, I feel like I think it's only hard to deal with because it's not as though I'm very, it's not as though I'm subtle with my favorite friends. Like, they know it. Everybody knows it. And I feel like people who aren't the favorite are acutely aware of that fact. And so they're kind of like, how can I be a favorite? Like, the perks are crazy. Like, they're so nice to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think one of the ways that, like, you facilitate toxic relationships is by not having boundaries. Shout out to all my people pleasers out there. I see you. I'm a recovering people pleaser. I had a best friend that we broke up beginning of this year, and we had such a toxic relationship. And I think the main reason why it was toxic is because I was such a people pleaser all the time. This hoe was homophobic. She was classist. Oof. Like, so I feel like I was the clown for deluding myself into believing I could be best friends with someone who literally, like, reduces my identity to an intellectual question. Like, she'd stay saying things like, I'm not homophobic. I just don't agree. Like, I just don't agree with being gay. I'm just like, bitch, what do you mean? bitch, what do you mean?
And spell so, it like, out, sis. I don't understand. Like, what do you disagree with?
I think when you allow yourself to stay in relationships or friendships with people who undermine your humanity and your identity, it's going to get toxic real quick. Which brings us to the question of, like, can you really be friends or can you date someone who has opposing belief systems and politics to you? Or does that get toxic?
Perhaps if you're not dating, like, perhaps if you're mindful of what you're dating for. Ooh. Like, some people are happy with just the companionship above all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm very much a believer of your partner as a reflection of you. Mm. So I'm out here, like, holding people to high standards. But if that's not some shit that you're on, then it's chill. Do whatever you want to. Who says healthy should be, you know, the bar you set? Be toxic. Just be self-aware. I mean, it's not every day healthy relationship. You need, I would argue that you need a toxic dynamic to understand what a healthy one can be.
Yeah, I agree with that also. Mm. I also think, like, a little bit, I think, like, a little bit of toxicity makes sex really good.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, that's just my unpopular opinion. Like, a little bit of jealousy, like, you know, like, it just makes the sex mad good. Because you know what I think? I just don't think it's realistic or possible to have a relationship that's 100% healthy. Like, no. Just, you know, like, there just is going to be a dimension. And that dimension should be, like, 1% or 2%. But I think just allow it, you know? Like, just allow it, work with it, work alongside it. Because I think the more you try to suppress a part of yourself, the more it festers and grows and expands. Whereas that's if you just true. Like lean into it and you try, the more you try to understand it and unpack it. Like at this point, like my jealousy with groupies and like, yeah, and just like Instagram girls has sort of become like a source of jokery in my relationship. I feel like the more we just like unpack and lean into it, the less of a problem it becomes. You know, like sometimes just allow instead of like repressing.
Yeah, I can see that. But I also find in some ways people are in these relationship dynamics acutely aware that they have toxic issues that they're not dealing with. And they think it's not affecting their behavior or the person that they're with. How do you navigate that, though? Like there was a thread in our Facebook group where somebody was saying that they do this really self-sabotagey thing where they will sort of like mine someone for affection and then when they get it, they'll just back off completely. And like, that's not cute, sis. Interesting. Like, that's not it.
Yeah.
Or they'll test their partner frequently, not jokingly, like literal tests, and then hold them accountable.
What do you mean?
You know, wait, like that's crazy. I understand tests as though like, you know what, let me see if he offers to XYZ because I'm an acts of service type bitch. But, you know, if you're setting huge traps for someone and not giving them any insight as to why you're doing it or what your expectation is, that shit's so dangerous.
It really is. I also think, like, similar to that, a lot of women look for reasons why their partner doesn't love them. Mm? It becomes, like, a confirmation bias. I think when you're really... Yeah, I think when you're really, like, rooted in insecurity, this is something that, like, stems from insecurity a lot of the time. I think I did this in my last relationship, and it was long distance, so it was doomed to fail. Oh. But, yeah, that's how I feel. but I was so, like, insecure about, like, our capacity to be like long lasting and healthy that I would look for reasons why he doesn't love me. And then I'd build up my case and present it to him. Like anything could trigger me. Like, you know, you could literally just be like at a restaurant and your man doesn't open the door for you. And you're like, you know what? I always knew you'd be a fucking trash dad.
And I knew it. You want him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to kill me. He doesn't want to be with me. He's leaving me out in the cold.
Leaving
Look at this
me
man
out.
Showing me who he is.
Honestly, like people really are out here looking for reasons to confirm their insecurities. And when you look, you will find it.
Yeah.
So it's,
this is also why I'm a big fan of telling your partner what you're insecure about.
Yes.
So they can call you out on your bullshit when it's rearing its ugly head. I've been in so many situations where I've not communicated my insecurities And it's been really hard for them to understand or have context for my behavior. But if I said, like, if you do something that triggers me, I will overthink and catastrophize it and then be off you. Then someone can be like, oh, I think you misinterpreted me or like whatever it might be. And it's almost nice. It's kind of like, damn, I really did do that. Give me a second. Hold up. Let me
honestly, reevaluate. Yeah, you need to like communicate with your partner and tell them why you're trash. Like, these are all the ways that I'm trash.
Mm. And I can only imagine it'd be hard if your partner doesn't actually like you. Because if you really like someone and they tell you, these are the ways in which I'm trash, usually your dumb bitchery would be like, I'll deal with it, I'll deal with it. And then when it becomes too hard to deal with, then you'll actually find ways in which you can manage their nonsense. If someone doesn't like you, though, then they're probably not going to bother.
Exactly.
Not even that. If someone likes you, they're going to want to try and deal with your insecurities.
Yeah.
So they can keep on liking you.
Yeah, but that's if they're why not we bothered,
tolerate red flags so much. We're kind of like, let's fix this so I can get past that and continue liking you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know what is the number one red flag? Okay.
Ooh.
So
are you sure?
That's a big call. I am fully 500% sure. I think it's power dynamics. I think.
Now I'm all about that shit.
Really?
Yeah, I make it a game, though.
Okay, I'm playful. not playful dynamics. When I say power dynamics, I mean, like, codependency. I mean, even something like withholding or lying in order to manipulate someone. Like, that's a power dynamic move. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's last year's brief. I'm over that.
Like, men really use power to manipulate women. And I also feel like, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I feel like if you're dating someone who's exponentially richer than you, or you're dating someone who's like, you know, you're dating your boss, or just someone who has like societal power over you, it's going to turn manipulative and toxic real quick. Like the way Leonardo DiCaprio is dating like college kids, that shit is so toxic.
Mm.
Like how are you like 50 years old dating a 23-year-old sophomore in college? What are you doing? You know, like these type of like dynamics will turn toxic real quick. I really do believe in like dating your equal, which isn't to say that you shouldn't strive higher, which isn't to say that you can't date a guy who's richer than you, but it's about the fact that like if a guy can wield or use his elitism, his status, his class, his money to get you to be dependent on him, or, you know, to manipulate you in so many different ways, it's going to be toxic. Like, don't play yourself. I remember when I was like 15 or 14, there was this guy who was like 28, and he was like very flirtatious with me, very like wanting to hang out, inviting me over to his place all the time. And I was out, my naive ass was thinking like, oh, I'm so mature. Like, he thinks I'm so mature. Like, no, he's just a pedophile, you know?
Yeah, that would be it, babe. That would be it.
Yeah. I think, like, it's really important to understand that power dynamics are never cute. And power is different from authority. Let me just say that.
Okay.
So, like, of course your parents have authority over you, but they don't have power over you. Like, it's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Power is always going to be toxic.
And it's worthwhile saying that toxicity is on a spectrum, and things can be minor, things can be detrimental. And I think it's up to you to be very, like, vigilant about what your benchmark is. Like, there are some things that I'm fine about. Like, I'm fine when people are, like, shit texters. That can be a toxic red flag. Things I'm not fine about is withholding. I don't care if you've got secrets of your own, they're our secrets.
I don't believe in it. I'm an African mom. Like, what is privacy?
I'm like, you were thinking something? Oh, you don't want to say it? Oh, I'll wait. Oh, no.
What?
I've got time.
Do you think there's room for privacy versus secrets in relationships? Where do we draw the line?
Well, privacy is your business and secrets are our business.
I love that. That's my new mantra.
Don't hide shit from
that
me.
That is my new
especially
mantra.
Especially in situations where I can like visibly see somebody holding their tongue.
Yeah.
Or starting to say something and beating around the bush and be like, you know what? Don't even worry about it. No, I will wait.
Yeah. Okay, here's a common scenario. And this might be juvenile, but I think it's really common. So let's just talk about it. Social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot of heterosexual relationships, women are posting their men, but men aren't posting their women. Is that a red flag? Are you being private or are you being secretive? And this is excluding like someone whose social media is like for business, like personal social medias.
Oh, because I was going to say I was in like a 2-year relationship, didn't post about them.
Yeah.
Maybe in hindsight, red flaggy.
I'm dead. Did he post you?
Yeah, of course. I was littered. I even said, I think you should delete those pictures now that you're single. He was like, no, it's my history.
I'm screaming.
I don't know if it's a red flag.
Yeah.
Just because I know that a lot of people don't put weight on social media like we do.
Yeah.
And I don't, in the same vein, I don't think that somebody posting a picture of me is a metric of how well our relationship is thriving or flourishing. Facts. And I actively have to remind myself that that is not a good metric.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, like, what is a post? When's the last time you told the truth to me? When's the last time you were honest with me? Yeah, so juvenile me would have been like, that's fucking sus. But then in theory, it's whatever. I don't think you should worry about it.
Yeah.
You should probably sooner unpack why that is an issue with you. Yeah, if the person isn't hiding you generally, if people know you're together, you share like an openness in other areas, then this posting business, like
for what?
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I mean, I had a situation in my last relationship where the long distance one that was a joke, he came to New York to visit. And there was a time when I just had his phone in my hand and his Instagram was open. So I like went down the stairs.
You tried it. There was a time when I just happened to have his phone in my hand and Instagram was already open. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? I love science. So I went on his stories and I was like jokingly posting myself on his stories, just talking my shit as usual. And as soon as he clocked that I was like talking my shit on his stories, he was like, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you trying to post yourself on my stories? And I thought that was really sus. That's sus. You know what I mean?
Like, that's fucking sus.
It's one thing to like not post your person or whatever, but it's one thing to make a big deal out of them like just being on your story. You know?
That's some real, like, we've been dating for 3 years, relax, like, chill, don't even, like, post it up, like, you know I love you, but don't tell your friends about me, like, mind
literally
your business.
And, like, I spoke to him about it, and I was like, why are you being so secretive, like, what are you actually hiding? And he was like, I'm not secretive, I'm private, there's a difference.
Huh.
He was a Taurus.
Okay. I do think there is a difference, but...
Yeah, but I don't see that line in this situation.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he had points, like some points were made, but
he didn't back them up.
Yeah,
you know?
No, the intersection of the point and the situation just were not there.
Yeah, well, needless to say, that didn't last.
Mm.
But you know, I feel like that is where we draw the line. I think between secrecy and privacy. I think like, do you think it's ever acceptable to go through your partner's phone?
Nah. Really? I've done it. I don't think it's acceptable.
I'm actually screaming.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm kind of a creepy person.
If you've been given permission, if someone's like, oh, I don't even care, have a look. Like, or if someone's like, if you have an open relationship with your phone and their phone, it's chill, like, go through the photos, whatever. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that privilege and you're having a sneak peek, it's sus.
Yeah.
But also, Gail, Oprah's best friend Gail, said that people who have nothing to hide, hide nothing. And so if somebody were to ask to see my phone, I would sooner just be like, we'll have a look than put my guard up.
Same.
Because it's the withholding that creates more tension around the situation than otherwise.
I think
and what you should be worried about is giving somebody reason to distrust you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I've never even, like, had that conversation with my boyfriend now of, like, should we go into each other's phones?
But if you go snooping, you will find something. Like, self-fulfilling prophecies are the memo for this year. Like, if you go snooping, you'll find something. A lot of us think we're slick and we've got a good hold on hiding our emotions or our intentions. Nah. Like, if you are of the belief that your partner is doing some shady shit, your body language has confirmed that you know some shit way sooner than any of your actions would.
Yeah. Ooh, so, I agree.
You know, try and be slick. I dare you. They already know.
This is why I completely understand women who are just like, you know what? I know my man is cheating and I'm just going to let him do it in peace. Like, I'm like just not going to interrupt.
The person from the other episode, the dumb bitch decision, was like, I knew my man was cheating, but I didn't want to move out. I salute you. I think about that all the time. I salute you.
That is energy. I respect that, honestly.
Should I mind my business?
Yeah. Just mind your business. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Do you think it's creepy to, okay, this is, or do you think this is creepy or toxic? You meet a guy, you think he's cool, he asks you out on a date. Before you go on a date, to Google him.
Oh, I Google. The shit
do you
I
do
Google.
Your Googles?
Am I trying to die? It's already so crazy for us to have normalized leaving our own whole house to go and not telling people where we're going to hang out with strangers, thinking that's chill. It's already, I need to know what I'm getting into. I Google, Facebook stalk. I go through, you know, the people on your page. I suss what they're about.
It's wild.
It's creepy, but it's not toxic.
Follow-up question.
Why am I trusting that this whole stranger is safe enough to... No.
Yeah, go on, please. He could be a whole serial killer. Mm. A follow-up question. So now you're on a date with Mans. And you found from your Googling and your snoopling.
Snoopling!
I love it. Let's make snoopling a word.
I like snoopling.
Yeah. So you found from your snoopling that Mans is a heart surgeon and he did Beyonce's, like, heart once, you know?
Yeah.
You find this out from your Googling.
Yeah.
And so on a date, he brings up the fact that he's a heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. Is it creepy to then be like, oh, yeah, I noticed that you actually also did Beyonce's heart. How was that?
That's fucking creepy. Look, I think information is really important. And I think you should go into these situations with information. Like, like it's not a game you're playing, but you are contextualizing this interaction you're having. It's important that we have tools to benchmark what's being said to us. So we're not just floundering and assuming that, you know, any information is conducive to, you know, our past experience. Like, you know, because he told me X, Y, and Z, that must mean he trusts me. Nah, bitch, you already have that information because you stalked him. Like, it's chill. But that's a private practice. It's a private practice and you need not disclose that. Even in my situation, I don't tell people, I don't give people my socials or anything I date them. And I almost encourage them now, I encourage them not to Google me or anything because you're going to fall into the trap because I have a lot of information online of thinking you know me when you don't. It's different if you are a person who just had a personal profile, a few pictures, like one of a sunset, one of some food, one of, you know, you at your best friend's wedding. That doesn't tell me much. If you Google me, you're going to get all this information that you don't need to know. Like, it's not for you.
Yeah, I'm like that as well, fully. Well, for me, it's because I'm also an Instagram hoe. Like, I'm out here on Instagram posting my bikini pictures, ass cheeks are out, titties are out. And I feel like that a lot of times informs how men engage with me. Like, a guy, you know, a guy will meet. We could literally, I went to this event. I was speaking at this event for Google. And it was very, like, sciencey and, like, you know, artsy, sciencey vibe. And even in that situation, like, we're both on the same stage, fam. Like, you and I are both equally qualified to be here. But I clocked that this guy, as soon as I gave him my Instagram page, his perception of me completely changed.
Mm.
And it's just like, so because you see a bikini picture, it's a different vibe now.
Mm. Okay.
Like, are you mad? So, that's interesting. Yeah, I feel like men especially really jump to conclusions based on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And I feel like my Instagram page is not even like 0.2% of who I am.
Oh, not at all.
You know what I mean? It's such an inaccurate representation of who I am that it's just, it doesn't benefit me to, when guys ask me, do you have an Instagram? I'm just like, no, actually, I'm just not really a social media person.
Oh, so you a liar?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
She said, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
I've been lying. And what?
I've been in these streets. Or I give them my Twitter because I just don't use Twitter.
Wow.
But it's just like, yeah, I'm not out here giving anyone my Instagram because our relationship is ruined off the jump. I also think, like, I present as someone who's very dumb. Like, I'm very smiley. I wear all the colors. You know?
I, like, present.
Although, like, realistically, I'm probably quite nihilistic. No, actually, I'm not nihilistic. I'm just realistic. But I think people associate happiness and joy with stupidity. And so, dead ass.
Where is the lie?
Literally.
If you are happy, like, you're missing the picture.
Yeah, honestly. Like, people can't understand, like, why would you be so happy and joyful? It must be because you're an idiot. And so I feel like now you're going to go on my colorful ass Instagram page and further misinterpret my existence. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm. That's
Let's
fair.
Relate on this level. Yeah.
I agree. You know, ho, stalk away. That's your privilege and your right. So stalk away.
Okay, follow up. Mm-hmm. So you've gone on a date with Mans. Let's call him Chad.
Yeah. My bae,
you've gone
Chad.
On a date with bae Chad. And so this is now your third date. After the third date, he invites you over to his place. And while you're over at his place, he goes to the bathroom. And you're inside his room. While he's in the bathroom, are you going to snoop? Yes or no? His diary is right there. Are you going to read it?
Yeah. I don't think I'd have enough time to read a diary, but I would definitely look around. Like, I'm not just, like, sitting there, legs crossed in the bed, waiting. I'm having a look. And knowing me, though, I would have a look and say something. Oh, what's that?
Oh, yeah.
Can I read it? Why not?
Oh, okay. No, okay, I'm cool. Thinking, like, opening drawers.
Oh, calm down. No, I'm not going to open a drawer.
You know, I might, honestly.
Like,
I
what's
might
in
open
there for me? What could he possibly have? These what men have just got bed frames. There's nothing
bomb.
In the drawer.
I know, right?
Mismatched socks. There's nothing.
Does
in
he
there
even
for me.
Have a bed frame? Never mind a drawer.
You tried it. He has a few crates full of
honestly.
Clothes. And that's it. Yeah.
Honestly, look, I think I would read a diary. Cause I'm
I don't
trash.
Think I have enough time to read the diary.
Like, okay. If he was, like, in the kitchen cooking up a meal, and then I went to his bedroom, because that's the pathway to the bathroom, and I saw his diary. Bitch, I'm opening it. I'm opening, and I'm reading page one.
So you were the type of bitch to, like, look over Mandem's shoulder and read his phone?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's, like, something I do reflexively, you know? It's, like, if it's right there, how can I not read?
Oh,
how
I'm
could
my
I not
business.
Read it? Really?
I often think that if it's important. No, okay, look. I've been in a lot of situations where somebody would assume that it's rude to be on their phone, or, like, their phone's gone off. And so they'll contextualize why their phone is ringing during our time. They're like, oh, it's just my friend, or, like, I just a notification or whatever. So usually somebody says what they're looking at. But, no, I would assume if it was for me to know, you'd tell me.
Wow, you're so trusting.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
so
not a
lovely.
Jealous person.
That's a really lovely trait. To me, I don't know, it doesn't even stem from a place of jealousy, because these are all, like, first date scenarios. But I just want to know everything, you know? I don't know that I would ever read my boyfriend's diary, just because at this point, like, I know him. But if we were on a first date and his diary fell out his bag, bitch, I'm reading it.
You tried it. At your coffee shop work date.
At my coffee shop work date. I'm reading everything.
I don't know.
I'm sniffing all your oils. Like, I wanna know.
I'm an overthinker. So it's important to me that if I'm getting information, I have the ability to ask somebody more questions.
Yeah.
Because I know if I just get a hint of the story, I'm going to go crazy. I'll be in my head. If I looked at his phone and it said, like, there's a message from Meg, I'd be like,
Yeah.
Then I'll start, do you have any female friends? What's your sister's name? Mum?
But auntie, see, like, once auntie? You see Meg, you just have to read, or else you'll be paranoid for the rest of the evening.
So I don't
at
know.
At that point, wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on that topic, though.
Yeah.
Let's say you are dating someone. You're in the early stages. Perhaps it's like 5 or 6 dates. So enough that you're familiar. You both have exchanged declarations of like. But you're not like, you're not boyfriend and girlfriend. But it's a thing.
Yeah.
And you encounter something sus. Like, you know, he was funny about putting on a condom, or, you know, he said that he'd be picking you up and then last minute he was like, actually, can you make your own way there? Something that set you off. A minor confrontation is necessary. Would you sooner confront this person?
Absolutely.
Or let it go? And if you were confronting, how would you do it? Like, what is the Bobo way?
Let's pick a scenario. So he was supposed to pick me up and then I've actually been in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So before I even leave the house, I'm calling him like, hey, what's up? I thought we had arranged for you to come pick me up. Like, what's actually happening here? Like, first, I want to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also think it's like, if you're doing that so early on, is it a prelude to other things? Like, do I just want to not leave my house at all? And so if he's like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine, like, what a reason could be for that.
He just said, like, to be honest, like, I thought I'd have more time, but it's, like, traffic, and I'll be annoyed if I come all the way to yours. And, like, I'll just be, like, backtracking. So just, like, you know, meet me there.
Okay, then I'm just like, okay, that sounds fair. I'll meet you there. Mm-hmm. But it is something I've clocked. Like, mm-hmm. it's something that I've clocked in the back of my mind. And, I mean, I'll bring it up and I'll ask him why. I'm not confronting in the sense of, like, how dare you. I'm confronting in the sense of, why did we have this sudden change?
Okay.
What prompted this?
What if it's something a little bit more intangible? Like, you are feeling like a disconnect or a change in vibe, or you just can't read the person very well. Would you bring that up?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The curiosity would devour me.
Mm-hmm. How would you do so?
I would just be like,
I think that's
hey,
very healthy feeling... to like, because I know a lot of people who wait till situations are substantial before they address them, just so they know they have all the evidence there and it's quite clear what's going on.
But oh, I wow, like to kind that. Of nip I don't need
in
evidence.
The bud early on. Like, if I just get a little inkling, I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, that? I mean, I also really fully trust my intuition. So if I'm getting a vibe, I trust it. And so I'm going to inquire. And also the way that someone responds to my inquiry is also very telling. And it's just a waste of me and his time to wait until it explodes into a divorce for me to, like, mention, you know? So, yeah, for me, I'm just like, hey, I've noticed that over the past few days you've been really quiet.
Would you say this in person or on text?
Ideally over the... I don't like confrontation via text because I just think... like tone and, you know, all the vocal things get lost over text. So either over the phone or in person,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be a vocal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more, it's not like I'm yelling at you. It's I'm asking you a question. Like I'm trying to understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I would just pose it as like, hey, I've noticed ABC. I've noticed that you've been really quiet lately. I've noticed that you haven't been texting me as much lately. I've noticed that you don't seem as enthusiastic around me lately. Is something up? Mm-hmm. Like, can we unpack this? Can we dissect this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would you approach that?
I do the exact same thing, but I am quite... I respond, but my body language is very reactive. So if that was... Let's say, like, we went to dinner and something was off, I would take, like, 5 minutes of quiet and be like... Okay, I clock something.
Yeah.
Am I reading this wrong or is this X, Y, and Z? And I try not to do that thing where I fill in the blanks for them. Like, so, like, I'm registering that you're behaving a little bit off. What's that about? As opposed to saying, I register you're behaving a little bit off. What's that about? Is it because X, Y, and Z? Because often, even if it's
either.
Not, they'll take that one because it's easiest. And I'm a big, like, oh, wait, that's my favorite. if somebody, I think I got taught this when I used to work in PR and I was managing a team, and my boss used to tell me a very important interview technique is to ask somebody a question and do not fill in the blanks for them. Even if they don't have anything to say, just wait and they will find the words. And that works for me in a lot of conflict resolution, because when someone knows you're not going to let it go, they were like, okay, give me a second and I will think about an appropriate response.
Yeah.
What's the treat?
I like that. Yeah, I think that's really healthy
is too, nipping it in the bud straight away. I know a lot of people find it really frustrating to always be having a conversation, but the way my mind works, the narrative I make up in place for what you haven't yet told me is going to be far worse than the reality. So I have to know.
No, honestly, I'm the queen of jumping to conclusions.
Oh, like,
that is
my vocation.
Honestly, that is what I do for a living. I jump to conclusions. So I would rather, and I'm also not scared to be annoying. Something I used to be scared of was just like, oh, I don't want to ask too many questions because it's annoying. I'm just not that bitch anymore. Like, now I'm asking everything.
Yeah.
And if someone can't work with me, then that's a sign of emotional immaturity and I don't have time.
Yeah, and I think this is a good segue into learning about how to fight well in relationships, because a lot of people just haven't got it down pat. I struggle with a lot of people who are emotional because we're just not speaking the same foundational language when we're addressing an argument. I'm what talking... Because generally, if I'm in a position where I'm addressing conflict of some sort, I'm saying, this is what I saw, this is what went on, fill in the blanks. But somebody who is emotionally driven, be like, you made me feel this way based on so-and-so. I'm like, but what actually happened? Like, when did I make you feel this? I didn't intend to do that.
Wow.
Just tell me what happened, not how it made you feel. So it's like, if you're like, I felt as though you were X, Y, and D, I'm like, that's not what happened. So okay, let's say...
Wow, I'm the opposite then. I'm someone who likes to lead opposite. With emotion.
So let's say I thought... okay, let's say we went to dinner. We're dating. We went to dinner. And the waiter was just, like, putting the moves on me so hectic. And I was being polite because, like, you know, Mandem was bringing us, like, extra food and snacks and being like, oh, look, maybe we can hang out later. Haha, kidding. You know, I know you're in a relationship. Just, you know, doing too much. But coming over every 10 minutes and whatever. And I obviously was humoring it because I was like, we're getting, you know, extra free food. It's just funny. Yeah. Like, it's chill. He obviously knows we're together. And you think it's inappropriate because, you know, we're in a relationship and I should have cut it down. So when you addressed me, you said, I just feel like, you know, you're so inconsiderate and, like, you don't even care about how I feel. Like, you were humoring that guy.
Yeah.
I prefer someone to say, I didn't like your behavior in that situation.
Oh,
and so I could be like, okay, what didn't you like about it? Oh, well, it felt as though you were X, Y, and Z. Like, more, like, factual, not just like, this is my perception of it, like, I'm floundering, you hurt me. I'm like, that's important,
but isn't it?
But I want to know what you're actually mad about, because often you find when you're leading with the emotional description, it's not clear which bit was the offensive bit. Was it the free food that offended you because none of it was vegan? Was it because you didn't like me flirting with that other person? Was it not making it clear that I was with you and not open to being flirted with? Like, I can't know that when you're leading with, like, and now I feel insecure. I'm like, I get it. But also, what's the problem?
What actually happened?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Well, I think ideally you would want to be doing both. I think in every conflict, you should differentiate between perception and reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to lead with emotion because I feel like regardless of what actually happened, what we have to deal with is how you feel. Mm. So I would rather someone lead with, I felt disrespected when you did this. Or like, I'd rather you lead with emotion because I want to deal with that emotion and align it with, like, because if you approach me with, I felt like you disrespected me when you were flirting with the waiter, then I can approach with, oh, well, what I was actually doing was this and this and that. So you interpreted it this way, but in reality it was actually this.
Yeah.
And that's where the disconnect is. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think a lot of arguments just never get resolved because people don't, like, sit and unpack what was the perception of the situation versus the reality.
Mm. And I do agree there are some instances where it is important to lead with how you perceived it first, because you know, a lot of these arguments are irrational. So if I'm leading with my irrational viewpoint of like, oh, I really thought that you were flirting with that person, Like, is that what was happening? Because it looks crazy, but that's what I thought. Then you can be like, oh, maybe I can see how you saw it that way, but nah, that's not how it went down. Right. Let me fill in the gaps. That's, I mean, so it's tricky. Yeah. I think the easiest way, the healthiest way to fight is to make sure both parties have resolution as their end goal.
Yes. I think it's important also, something that me and my boyfriend do is like remind each other that we love each other.
Mm.
Like if we're in a really big fight, and maybe it's a fight that's like, okay, we've only really had two really big fights. So a fight that lasts more than one day, if we're not able to come to a conclusion at the end of the conversation, we still lead with like, I just want you to know that I love you.
Mm.
But let's get back to this conversation when we're both feeling more level-headed and less emotional.
Mm.
So I just think like love should be the foundation and the root of your conflict.
Of course, not competition.
Flex is vomiting.
I'm like, suddenly I can't hear anymore.
I'm screaming.
I don't speak English anymore. Yeah.
A lot of times you have to choose between being right and being in a relationship. Like, do I want to be right or do I just want to stay in this? Yeah, because a lot of times it's just not worth it. It's like you're fighting over, like, what, ice cream or whatever. And it's just, like, most fights just aren't worth the hassle, I feel like, of competing over facts and what's right and what's wrong. Like, there are no objective truths. Everyone is right and everyone is wrong.
Yeah.
So I never want that to be the foundation of any argument. Like, who was right and who was wrong? It should just be like, let's find a way to align our two perceptions of reality so that we can understand each other.
Absolutely. And again, if you have the resolution in mind, then you know you're not fighting you're not fighting for, like, to build intimacy. Like, I'm fighting to see if you care about me. I'm fighting to see if you'll take the time and work through it. It's like, nah, that's not how we build intimacy, babe. Like, let's get over this hump and then
also
move on.
Also, sulking. I want to talk about sulking because I think that at our big age, we are still sulking. And sulking is something I don't have time for.
Boo,
whenever someone is sulking,
allow it.
If you're sulking, it's because you want me to read your mind as opposed to you telling me what's happening. Like, the anatomy of a sulk is I'm mad at you. I'm now going to go lock myself into the bedroom. I'm going to open. So my partner is going to come into the bedroom and ask me what's wrong. And I'm going to say nothing.
Oh.
And I'm going to continue to sulk. And that I do not have time for. I absolutely don't have time for that. Like,
no, that's
need
not it. I don't
to
like
be
that.
Big bitches. Yeah. And communicate why we're mad. And not be like, so for example, in the scenario that we're talking about, not be like, I don't like when you flirt with other people. You have to say how you feel. You have to be like, I feel insecure and less than.
Oh,
and,
yeah, unloved. Contextualizing. Yeah.
Yeah. Say, lead with, like, what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So that the person has context. Instead of being like, you don't love me anymore. Or instead of just being like, I'm mad at you. You're shit. You're trash. You never listen to me. You never want to do this and this. Rather be like, I feel unloved because recently we haven't been spending as much time with each other. Like, just say how you feel. Like, be vulnerable. Makes things so much easier. And it also helps the person approach you with compassion instead of, like, defensiveness. Because when you fight with someone and you come at them with the energy of, you never take me out anymore. You never do this and this.
Yeah, can't speak in imperatives like that. Because it's not the case. Like, it's not never,
always. It's never
always,
the case. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And the person gets defensive instead of wanting to understand, you know? But when you come with, I feel unloved because you don't take me out as much as you used to, then the person approaches, the person can engage you from the perspective of understanding and not, like, defensiveness.
Absolutely. I would also say it's really important to know what your best case scenario is after conflict. Sometimes you probably need time to strategize, like, why am I addressing this? What do I want to understand from this situation? What is the best case scenario?
Yeah.
So you don't get caught up in the fantasy and, like, you know, sometimes the excitement of conflict.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like,
I feel that.
by like thought of that you before. Know by addressing this, are you hoping that I stop? Are you hoping that I understand? Are you hoping that I bite back? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
And this is not something to, this is not what you are telling the other person, but what do you, knowing what your expectation is kind of helps you navigate the conversation so it doesn't steer too far into either direction. Like, this is tunnel vision. Like, I don't care that it happened. I want to understand why it happened.
Yes.
Like, I don't mind if it happens again. I want to know why it happened this time. You know, what triggered you? So and so. Like, that's really important. Otherwise, it's just like chatting for chatting's sake. It's not every day, you know, debates.
Not every day.
Sometimes I just want to understand. Often you, like, you don't even want to be understood, but you want to be cared for, or you want your feelings to be acknowledged, or you want to make sure that you're listened to. Like, there are levels to conflict resolution. Yes. So yeah, all of those will help you fight healthily. But also, like I mentioned in the last episode, there are also apology languages. So it's important to note that just because your partner isn't necessarily expressing, you know, regret or whatever as you would, doesn't mean their apology is invalid. So there are five languages of apology, which is super important. Them. So the first one is expressing regret, which is a simple I apologize.
Yes.
That one goes a long way for most people.
Yeah.
You know, just a simple, you know what, I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Number two is accepting responsibility. So that is like, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, like, I made
that's
a mistake.
That's the one I need.
That was my error. It's really important too, because, you know, often you find that when you're in these states of conflict, nobody wants to, like, take care and, like, adopt this baby of blame. Everyone's like, it's not my baby. I don't know her. Nah, that's yours. Someone needs to take it, because this baby's on the floor. Someone needs to nurse it and put it to bed.
Yeah.
Number three, making restitution. So it's like, I apologize, but what can I do to make it right? Like, how can I make you feel better about this? What would make you feel more secure in us after this discussion? Which is just amazing. Like, I like that shit.
That's shit I need.
You know what I mean? I get it. Like, you're sorry, cute. But I'm never feeling this way again. So what are you going to do?
Yes. That's also what I need.
Yeah. Number four is genuinely repenting. You know, I'll try not to do it again. I don't know what came over me. Now, this is a bit, like, that's dramatic. Yeah. I know people are flawed, so you're bound to make a mistake again. But for some people, they want the reassurance that you are going to try your hardest to not make the mistake again. And that is enough for most people. Yeah. And the number five is requesting forgiveness. So they're more concerned with not necessarily apologizing for the offense, but making sure that you forgive them. Which I'm like...
that I don't know about. Yeah. I don't know about that.
I said, huh?
I know. No, for me, I just need you to acknowledge your responsibility and then let me know, tell me how you're going to not do this ever again. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need to know.
So I feel like everybody should have a look at the apology languages, because I swear you'll be an expert at resolving conflict if you just understand how your partner or person or friend intends to apologize to you. Because I know a big distinction between apology languages are people who are happy to, you know, resolve it then and there, like, let's address it and it's resolved, versus those who need time to step away, see improvements, and then resolve it.
Yeah.
You know, it could That's be a one conversation process or a 16 conversation process. And you need to understand that so you know which things are worth fighting about. Like, for instance, when it comes to expressing regret, I was trying to understand, like, okay, saying that you're sorry, great. But what is, if that was your love language or your apology language, sorry, what does that look like? And somebody who expresses regret is, you know, saying sorry, but also making sure their body language says sorry as well. Like, I'm not saying sorry with my arms crossed, you know, staying face. Like, everything is connected to being sorry. You know, I'm acknowledging what I'm sorry. Yeah, you're sincere. You're acknowledging what you're sorry for. Like, not just I'm sorry, but I'm sorry for, you know, disrespecting ABC. You. I'm sorry for making you feel unworthy. Then also, a big thing that they tell you not to do if you're a person who expresses regret is say but, to try and contextualize you're sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I had a hard day. Like, I'm sorry, but, you know, like, I've just been so not.
Yeah, because there's no accountability with but.
Exactly. Own it. Keep it. Lock it down.
Yeah.
Then we can talk about the other thing for another time. We don't need to merge them in.
Exactly. It's also, like, quite insensitive when people... Like, if I've hurt you and I'm still more interested in defending myself than making amends, I don't know. not a fan of that.
Yeah, you're not on the same page with that one.
Yeah, no. I would also say, like, another thing with conflict is when you're fighting with someone, differentiating between something that is circumstantial versus to do with someone's character.
Ooh, I think, like, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times we just attack people's character for something that's, like, circumstantial, you know? Someone posted in our group, in our Facebook group a while ago, that she has a friend who is always consistently late. And she's struggling to identify whether her lack of punctuality is a character flaw or just has to do with her life circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really important to have a conversation with someone before you attack them about, like, why do you do the thing that you consistently keep doing?
Why are you like this?
Yeah. Like, why are you like this? And if it's someone's character flaw, then you go from there, but don't assume that it's someone's character flaw. Like, mm-hmm. first understand that, like, life is wild. Like, capitalism is mad. We are all moving mad. So it's just really important, you know?
That's a really important one too.
Yeah.
And sometimes you won't know that because the person who you're disagreeing with also doesn't have the bandwidth to understand which is what.
Yeah.
Because you can be operating out of a place of circumstance as your default, you yeah. know, when you're reactionary as opposed to being proactive. So it could be tricky. But it probably is. I mean, part of being a good partner is to understand, yeah, how to be a healthy arguer.
Yeah. Because you're going to argue.
Oh, you especially must.
Especially if you live with someone, like, bitch, living with
if you're
a
not
man,
disagreeing, then you're presuming the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, there needs to be some conflict, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have
with
a
that being
bit
said,
of
though, now that we understand that in order for a relationship to be healthy, there needs to be an element of toxicity.
Yeah.
How, like, why do relationships sour? Like, if I can be aware of, you know, wanting to resolve conflict, wanting to listen to you, operating from a place of, you know, presence, apologizing well, then for what reason would this relationship go sour?
I know this is cliche, but lack of communication or just trash communication. And then also, I think, attachment to outcomes. I think those are, like, primarily the two things. Or, like, outcomes that aren't communicated, which goes back to communication. But also another thing is just not prioritizing pleasure. Like, I really think the secret to longevity is humor and just taking walks with your partner. Like, just...
Shut
literally,
up.
Like, just take a fucking walk in nature. Like,
you tried it.
And just always be laughing. Like, I think, yeah, when relationships get really, really serious or there's just, like, an unwillingness to change form, an attachment to, like, what something once was, this shit makes shit go sour. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I can definitely agree with most of those points.
Yeah.
I think a big one is trying to mitigate, like, bad relationships. Trying to mitigate bad traits as opposed to dealing with them soon. So it's, like, kind of, like, not acknowledging red flags and then having them creep up later. Or wanting the honeymoon period to be so scot-free that you disregard any potential conflict, hoping that it'll disappear. And then it'll rear its ugly head later on in the relationship. I think that's the majority of it, actually.
Yeah. Ignoring red flags for, like, the purpose of comfort.
Which is so dangerous.
It's so dangerous. Because red flags don't go away. Like, you can't suppress them.
Nah.
Shit is here to stay.
And so what do you think is the secret to, like, a long... Well, not even a long, but just a
healthy,
fruitful
relationship? Pleasure. 100%. Like, keep
getting
your titty sucked.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Keep getting your titty sucked and keep laughing. I could never be with someone who's not funny. Because that is, if not the first most important thing, the second. Like, that's the shit that sustains you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I need to be with someone that I can, like, be running errands with. We can be doing the most banal thing. We could just be lying on a bed, but we're having the time of our lives.
Yeah, like, I agree.
That shit is so important. What about you? What's the secret to longevity?
I do agree with prioritizing pleasure. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think prioritizing pleasure, but also acknowledging when things aren't right. I feel, for someone who's quite confrontational, I've definitely been in situations where I've just refused to acknowledge that things weren't right for the benefit of comfort or security or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the balance of both is so important. Because not right is subjective and it can be easily fixed. And like we said before, often the narrative you make up in your head as to why something is the way it is usually isn't that deep.
Yeah.
Like, if I feel disconnected from you, I'm going to say it immediately. I'm not going to, like, wait 3 months and see if anything changes and, like, suss it out. Nah. I'm saying it.
Immediately.
And then we can go back to laughing.
I agree with that.
But also, like, I feel like people forget to tell you that people forget to mention that people are hard to be around. And that's also fundamentally why relationships don't last, because people are just hard.
That
to be around
is
all the
so
time.
True. And you need to know, like, that you are hard to be around, you know?
So don't sweat it, like, if your relationship is failing. Just know that it was, like, if we were talking statistics, it was likely to.
Yeah. Romance also isn't designed for longevity.
Oops.
If anything, it works best short term, you know? So don't sweat it. Like, there'll be more. There's always more.
There will absolutely be more. Just, like, I guess work on your, like, your recovery strategy.
Which will be another... Well, we have a breakup episode, so go listen to that. Heartbreak and breakups. But that'll be another topic. So there we have it, guys. I think we've covered most things. Toxic versus healthy relationships.
They're the same thing.
We learned some things. We're just here to mind fuck everyone.
Yeah.
They're the same thing.
Is it just subjective though? Like, or is it, do you think there's a clear distinction?
I think there's a clear distinction. I think the subjectivity lies in, like, people's personalities and people's individual desires. But I think they're, like, fundamental ingredients that should be present in every healthy relationship. Like respect, like justice, like affection, trust, honesty.
That's true.
Vulnerability.
I would say that, like, that it can evolve though. Like habits that can be, that were once healthy can transition to being toxic sooner than you realize.
Yeah, so just keep checking absolutely. In. Yeah, but I think you need to have all of the ingredients present. Or else it's a slippery slope, you know.
Enjoy sliding.
It's all subjective. There we have it. Let us know what you guys think. You can catch us in our Facebook group where all the conversations go down. We have a lovely community of like 3,000 people.
Almost 3.8K.
I know. Oh my God. Who are just uplifting, empowering, loving, funny, smart, just the best group of humans ever. We also have a mentorship program in our Facebook group, where you can either mentor someone in any area that you choose, or you can get mentored in any area that you need. Follow us on Instagram at Bobo and Flex, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and support us on Patreon. Thank you for listening. All the links will be in the description box below, and we'll catch you in our next episode. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.